With Montana News, I'm Cole Grant. The Environmental Protection Agency today designated the former Columbia Falls Aluminum Company as an official Superfund site. Swiss commodities firm Glencore announced the former smelter would be permanently shuttered back in the spring of 2015. Senator John Tester today applauded the EPA's decision.
It's going to free up additional resources to clean up the contamination. It's going to reduce the exposure of cost to the community. It's going to make sure that there will be public involvement and that Columbia Falls will be part of the solution, and it will hold Glencore accountable. That is a beautiful chunk of land that is ripe for development if it's cleaned up, and I think it can be cleaned up.
An initial EPA study found cyanide, arsenic, lead, and fluoride in groundwater on the site. The CFAC plant has an 800-acre footprint on Glencore's roughly 2,500-acre property. Company officials argued against a Superfund listing, saying in part that it would stigmatize neighboring properties, as well as on-site redevelopment opportunities. Struggles in the energy industry have contributed to Montana taking in less revenue than budget writers had anticipated over the last year. That's made the state's economic health an election issue. Republican gubernatorial candidate Greg Gianforte says that his opponent, Democratic Governor Steve Bullock, has led the state to steep revenue declines. Bullock's budget director, Dan Villa, says the governor has managed fiscal volatility well and that some revenue sources have been picking up recently. Legislative analysts told the committee today that the state's rainy day fund could drop below $120 million by mid-2017. Villa says the fund is healthy, and he said the analysts' forecast is incomplete. A federal judge in Montana ruled today that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service failed to consider including critical habitat areas in a plan to protect the endangered Canada lynx. Corn Cates Carney reports.
The elusive forest-dwelling lynx was put under Endangered Species Act protection in 2000. In 2014, when the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service finalized critical habitat designation for the medium-sized cat, some environmental organizations didn't think enough landscape was included and sued. Matthew Bishop with Western Environmental Law Center represented Wild Earth Guardians in the case, challenging the omission of habitat in Colorado.
So at the end of the day, I think this decision will give lynx a fighting chance to recover in the Southern Rockies, and it really forced the federal government to go back to ensure that their decisions are consistent with the best available science.
The judge also agreed with organizations that sued over habitat not included in western Montana and Idaho. Fish and Wildlife Service spokesperson Serena Baker.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is pleased that the final rule on lynx critical habitat will remain in effect, but we are disappointed with the judge's remand.
The judge's ruling says the service's current habitat designation will remain in effect until a potential new one is created. A required timeline for an updated designation was not ordered by the judge. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
The Spokane Spokesman Review is reporting a nephew of U.S. Senator John Tester was found dead in his home outside of Spokane yesterday morning. Court documents say a man entered his home and awakened Tester and his 8-year-old daughter, ordering the girl to stay in bed. The girl said the man was wielding what she described as a sword and a knife. Court documents say she called her grandmother to report the death. Deputies have not mentioned a person of interest, but a detective included the full text of Tester's last Facebook post, dated August 25th, as evidence in the investigation. Senator Tester's press office confirmed the relationship and said, quote, his family would prefer privacy during this difficult time, unquote. With Montana News, I'm Cole Grant.
I'm Freddie Menares. Two Kalispell women have pleaded guilty to locking two young boys in their basement bedrooms at night, reportedly because they frequently tried to set fires and one had tried to choke his sister. Amy Lynn Newman and Crystal Marie Mears each pleaded guilty today to two counts of criminal endangerment. Court records say Child and Family Services removed four children from the house in March after hearing reports that Newman and Mears were regularly locking three of them in the basement. Kalispell police say the basement windows were boarded up and the children used a bucket as a toilet. Gardeners in Butte are being encouraged to share their bounty this week to help honor the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Nora Sachs reports.
The service project, initiated by the National Center for Appropriate Technology, is called Gleaning Gardens for Our Community, to provide food for those who don't have enough to eat. Five community organizations are working together to help gather extra food from local gardeners and take it to the Butte Emergency Food Bank to reduce food insecurity. Kelly Anderson is the MSU Extension Agent for Butte Silver Bow County.
You know, I always love harvesting all the vegetables and then seeing how much fresh produce we really do produce in Butte and how huge the hearts are of our community citizens, too.
Throughout the week, growers can bring produce directly to the food bank. Staff and volunteers are also on call to help pick and deliver vegetables. On Sunday, they'll descend on the food bank to help distribute the donations, which last year topped out at 500 pounds.
A lot of it remains whole, so we wash it and get all the grubbies off from the garden. Then some of it we'll process and give it to participants so it's a little more easy to handle.
While Butte gardeners are encouraged to participate in this project, the food bank welcomes fruit and vegetable donations all season long. Even kohlrabi won't go to waste. I'm Nora Sachs for Montana Public Radio.